You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. On today's episode, we are going to take a look at the Orioles news from Monday. Mike Elias meeting with the media via Zoom, saying a lot of important things about the O's and a little bit of breaking news about the Orioles and them hiring in one of their two major league position coach openings. Also, coming up after the break, we are going to break down Yoimer Sanchez. He is the newest Oriole, the O's claiming the infielder off waivers from the White Sox over the weekend. And Herb Lawrence, the co-host of the Locked On White Sox podcast, is going to join us to talk about Yoimer, talk about what he can bring to the Orioles, and how his seven-year career in Chicago went, and why the White Sox ultimately decided to move on from him here this offseason. So that'll all come up after the break, but first, a lot of Orioles news coming out of that Mike Elias Zoom call yesterday, but obviously the number one piece of news from the Zoom call, the Orioles have decided on a new pitching coach. Remember a few weeks back, the Orioles deciding to move on from Doug Brocale, letting him go, no longer the pitching coach for the Orioles, and there was a lot of talk about, you know, the Orioles not making an outside hire and instead promoting someone from within, and that is exactly what the O's decided to do. Chris Holt, who has been the director of pitching, working mostly with the minor leagues for the past 2 years, has been elevated to the Orioles major league pitching coach position for 2021 and beyond. So Holt will move up to pitching coach. He'll be in the dugout, get himself a uniform, and will continue to remain in that director of pitching role as well. Obviously, he'll have more people helping him out with his duties in the minors as he is the major league pitching coach during next season. The other promotion because of that was Darren Holmes, who was the Orioles bullpen coach for the last couple of years. He has been moved up to the title of assistant pitching coach, but he will also remain in the bullpen during games as he did throughout the 2020 season. So a little bit of a title change, probably a little pay increase as well for Darren Holmes, but he'll do most of the same duties he was doing last year. And Mike Elias talked about, you know, it's still the opening of an infield coach for the Orioles slash third base coach, as of course the Orioles letting go of Jose Flores as well. And Elias talked about that as well. And he said, you know, that that opening could come from an outside hire. I think they're more open to making an outside hire there than they were for pitching coach, obviously promoting Chris Holt from the minors, but there's also plenty of good coaches in the Orioles minor leagues as well who could fill out that position that Jose Flores held for the last two seasons. So Chris Holt will be the new pitching coach. I think it was not assumed, but you felt like things were heading that way. You know, he was with the Astros with Mike Elias, who brought him over from the Stros, made him the director of pitching. Now he's the pitching coach. You know, he's a little more of an unconventional pitching coach than a guy who, you know, was good in the majors and worked his way up through the minors as a pitching coach. You know, he comes from the more data-driven side and a little more of a front office side, but still a good guy to have in the Orioles dugout, working with Brandon Hyde, and hopefully this takes the Orioles a tick up as far as pitching. And look, he's done well in the minor league system so far as director of pitching, working with the minor league guys, all the good arms the Orioles have in the minors. Now he will take that to the majors. And it's an interesting time for that transition because, you know, we saw the Orioles call up Dean Kramer and Keegan Aiken and Bruce Zimmerman, among others, as far as rookie pitchers in 2020. Now that next wave of guys will start to come up in 2021, and, you know, Chris Holt, who's been working with those guys, also gets the promotion right around the same time. So, you know, could be a seamless transition for those minor leaguers who have worked with Chris Holt to see him right back there in the dugout at Camden Yards when they eventually get there in 2021 and beyond. So I'm definitely a fan of the Chris Holt hire. But around the Zoom call as well, you know, a lot of other smaller tidbits of information from Mike Elias. You know, he had sent that email to fans yesterday about, you know, that the ownership group is committed to keeping the team in Baltimore. Looks like hopefully this team will stay in Baltimore, and I see no reason why that wouldn't be the case. He talked about the baseball operations, maybe wanting to add to that team, but talking about the financial instability caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. He talked a little bit about, you know, picking up Jose Iglesias' option, which the Orioles did on Sunday, and talked about how valuable he was to the team. Talked about reinstating Trey Mancini from the 60-day injured list, saying, you know, the treatment has gone very, very well for Trey Mancini, and hope he can get his strength back and get back to baseball activities pretty soon. Talked about Yoimer Sanchez a little bit, which we will get to. And then he talked about, you know, what the Orioles could do additionally this offseason. And he did talk about, you know, maybe adding one veteran bullpen piece if it comes at the right price. But he did say he felt good about what the Orioles bullpen looks like going into 2021. Also talked about definitely trying to add at least one veteran starter on a minor league deal, similar to what the Orioles did with Tommy Malone and Wade LeBlanc, and you know, even to a little bit of a different degree, Cole Stewart last offseason. And you could see a guy like Malone or LeBlanc be that guy, or a different arm as well. But definitely expect the Orioles to add at least one, you know, veteran starter to a minor league deal who's going to compete and help out these younger guys. He did say that the Orioles are still waiting on two players to be named later. It was Hector Velasquez. You remember the right-handed pitcher the Orioles claimed from the Red Sox way back last spring training. They traded him during summer camp for a player to be named later. They're still waiting for that one. And then they're also waiting on the player to be named later that was in the Tommy Malone trade over to the Braves, one of the two players they got there. Still waiting on that name, but Elias said those names should come pretty soon. And then really the last big thing that he talked about was, you know, what the Orioles will do with the 40-man roster. After this weekend, adding Sanchez on the waiver claim and then putting Mancini and Richie Martin back on there, the Orioles have 35 players on the 40-man roster. And of course, there's a handful of guys the Orioles want to protect from the Rule 5 draft prospects that they want to put on that 40-man. And Elias basically said that, hey, you know, we're going to add the guys who are at the top of the minor leagues who we think are almost ready for big league baseball. He said, you know, these are AA, AAA players who are polished and almost ready for the big leagues. So it makes you think, you know, Yusnail Diaz definitely going to be added. Zach Lowther definitely going to be added. You know, probably Michael Bauman definitely going to be added. You put those three names in there, you know, those are pretty much the locks, and you get to 38 players. And then you start thinking about, do you want to keep a spot open if you want to pick a guy in the 40-man or in the Rule 5 draft? And what do you do with that other open spot? So it'll be interesting to see what the Orioles do from here. But definitely a long conversation Mike Elias had with the media on Monday via Zoom. And as I mentioned, you know, he also talked about Yoimer Sanchez, whom the Orioles claimed off of waivers from the White Sox over the weekend. Sanchez, who has been in the big leagues with the White Sox and a very brief stint with the Giants since 2014. And he is really a utility infield. I say utility because he can play all the infield positions, but he was a starter for 3 years with the White Sox, and he won a gold glove at second base in 2019 with Chicago. Plays a great second base, plays a great third base, and he can also play short as well. You know, you kind of think about, you know, he's a 5'8 guy, so you compare him, you know, body type to Andrew Velasquez, but just a much, much better defender and offensive player than Velasquez, and that's a big upgrade for the Orioles. But, you know, does it put into question Hanser Alberto's future or potentially Rio Ruiz's future with the Orioles? But we wanted to know more about Yoimer Sanchez, what he can bring to the O's as they claimed him, and it looks like he'll be a part of at least the 2021 Baltimore squad. So Herb Lawrence is going to join us. He is the co-host of the Locked On White Sox podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Herb joins us to talk about Yoimer Sanchez, talks about his offensive struggles, but his one offensive peak season in 2017, talks about his solid defense that led to his Gold Glove Award, talks about the energy that he really brought to the White Sox dugout, and then finally talks about why, you know, despite Herb having, you know, good things to say about him, why the White Sox did move on from him this season. So that's coming up with Herb Lawrence. After the break, we talk about the newest Oriole, Yoimer Sanchez. So we welcome in Herb Lawrence to the podcast. He is the co-host of the Locked On White Sox podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And he joins us to talk about Yoimer Sanchez, the newest Oriole. And Herb, first of all, thank you so much for joining the pod.
Thank you for having me, Connor. It's good to be on Locked On Orioles.
And so we have you on, obviously, to talk Yoimer Sanchez, who the Orioles just claimed off of waivers the other day from the Chicago White Sox. And we know he spent a little time in the Giants organization last year, but every major league game he's played has been the White Sox, with the White Sox. 7 years for Sanchez with that Chicago squad. And he was a starter for a solid amount of that. So, you know, when you look back on the time that he spent in a White Sox uniform, you know, how does someone who covers that team, watches that team every night, kind of remember him in his seven seasons?
Well, Yoimer is the life of the party. He's always going to be getting his rest of his teammates hyped up, and he's going to be just happy, just a ball of energy. That's what Yoimer was during his time with the White Sox. He started his career as Carlos Sanchez, and then in the middle of his career, changed his name to Yoimer. Weirdly enough, I think that coincided with him turning into a player that was a fan favorite with the White Sox. He's mostly a glove-first and intangibles guy with very little bat, but every single time the White Sox would walk off in 2018 and a little less in 2019, Yoimer would do something fun and funny, like pour water on himself, pour water on the unsuspecting third base coach after a walk-off, throw it on the guy who is waiting for the guy who just hit the home run. Just, you know, the life of the party, a guy who won a gold glove in 2019, and the White Sox subsequently non-tendered him, and that's why he spent that time with the Giants in 2020. And when he was released by the Giants, the White Sox organization would say that they welcome him back with open arms because he is the perfect fifth infielder for any team that's looking for a person that can glove it at second, third, or shortstop. We, as the White Sox organization, through 2014 to about 2019, started Yoimer Sanchez. That was the problem I had with Yoimer Sanchez, not himself, but the White Sox were at a place where they had a guy that really didn't have a bat, but can glove it all the way through. And he played a lot for the White Sox. Enjoyable and fun times, but that is the era of the past that I don't want to go back to because it was a sad time. The White Sox were really, really horrible and rebuilding most of that time. So he represents a time where the White Sox were horrible, but the guy himself the fans of Baltimore will love Yoimer Sanchez if he makes the team. I mean, sure, he'll make the team because he was a great glove man, but if they stick with him, they'll love him.
Yeah, today there was a Zoom call with GM Mike Elias, and he had said, you know, obviously he was asked about Sanchez because that was his latest move, and he said, you know, he's not just here to you know, be depth. He's going to compete for a starting spot next year. And you know, one thing you mentioned, him obviously being a glove-first guy, he wins that gold glove in 2019 at second base. We know he can play other positions, but that's where he got the gold glove. And, you know, I thought it was an interesting gold glove award because, you know, he was a starter. He played 149 games and he was a fantastic defender. But a lot of times guys who, you know, maybe the baseball world doesn't see as stars or guys who are maybe, you know, destined to be more of a fifth infielder don't usually win that award. Did he really step up his defense that much last year to finally get that gold glove?
I just think he's always been a glove first guy and always been superb. Like he's not, I guess Oriole fans would see Iglesias as a guy who's flashy, makes the plays that you're like, oh man, that is spectacular. He's not that guy. He's more just solid. Like balls hit to him, balls hit to his right or left. He has good range and he'll make the plays that a regular shortstop or second baseman wouldn't make. And he has a strong enough arm to make the throws. And he had a good chemistry playing with Tim Anderson. So the double play combination there was real nice. And I think people started looking at the numbers and I know the defensive metric communities kind of split on what they want to look at and concentrate on, but his numbers throughout were solid. As long as you're looking at either defensive metrics as far as WAR or defensive metrics as far as run saved, he was solid on both of those. So He just finally got the recognition that I think he deserved for a long time. And playing that long for a team that was upcoming was also didn't hurt his chances. So he's always been a solid glove guy. And if he does play for the Orioles, especially with Iglesias, that double play combination will be outstanding. You'll be turning some double plays that you haven't seen before, and he'll be exciting. He'll be very exciting to players. I mean, I don't know what the second base situation is right now with the Orioles, if it's a guy who's over there booting the ball, but trust me, if Yolmer gets in there, the last thing you got to worry about is defense. He'll be solid. He'll be good for you, and he'll make every play that you expect him to make, and then a couple more.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, you talk about it, where he, you know, fits in with the Orioles. Right now, the Orioles have a steady second baseman in Hanser Alberto. There are talks about him potentially being available in trade or being non-tendered. But if he's kept around, Yolmer might be competing more for the third base job. Is he, you know, just as solid if the Orioles had to put him over there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yolmer played third base. I remember in 2017, for the most part, the whole time. And if you go by baseball reference war, he had a 3.5 war that year. And we're looking at Manny Machado's war that year, too, because we're like, oh, a couple of years from now, we're going to have Manny Machado sweepstakes, and maybe we can get him. And we were looking at it. I think it was around the same or below what Yolmer's was. And I was like, maybe we don't want Manny Machado anymore. This is, of course, when Manny Machado was in Baltimore and didn't have a great year, I think, in 2017, not a Manny Machado year. And we're like, this Manny Machado guy is a bum. And Yolmer's the future at third base. I mean, of course, we were joking about that. But, yeah, he can glove it at third. And he has a strong enough arm to get the ball over at a consistent pace. But when we switched Yoan Moncada from second base over to third base, of course, Yolmer had to go back over to second base. So, yeah, he can play third for you. And, I mean, he won't provide any power, like zero power, as a traditional third baseman usually would. But, I mean, and not even power. He won't even give you any good, sustained, you know, hits. He'll give you once in a while a clutch hit, but there won't be any like, man, Yolmer's over here hitting 300. No, I know the stats last year say that he was good for the White Sox, but it was in limited time, and that's probably the perfect way to play Yolmer Sanchez. If the Orioles are smart, they would play him sparingly. Guy needs a blow every once in a while, whether it be Hanser Alberto, Iglesias, or whoever's at third. Yeah, Yolmer can get you. He'll get you a nice quality effort that day. But to play him every day, I would advise against that.
Yeah, and you know, that's obviously in the cards too for the Orioles, and it's a little different obviously in Baltimore, because as a rebuilding team, they'd probably feel a little bit better playing him every day versus obviously a White Sox team that is competing to get to the World Series. But you mentioned that 2017 season, and you know, it wasn't just the defense that had the war up there. That was his best offensive season as well in the majors. 141 games. It was his only year his OPS has been over 700 at 732. Career high 12 home runs that year as well. Do you look back and you know, you mentioned seeing the war and comparing it to Manny. Does that feel like, when you look back, the peak of him offensively, and you know, what was different that year or in that, you know, maybe 2 year stretch if you include 2018 as well? What was different offensively, and why was he, you know, maybe not able to sustain that?
I don't know what was different about him. I mean, I remember him driving the ball a little bit more, being a little more consistent with the bat, and things just coming together. Sometimes, you know, you get a couple of bats. Like the years before, he was used sparingly, injured sometimes, and would not get a number of reps that you would need to stay sharp. I think that coincides with his name change. I mean, I don't know if that necessarily has anything to do with it, but he just, you know, was solid that year. Just, we couldn't get him off the field. I remember everybody was like, okay, here we go. We got a player here. Maybe we have a diamond in the rough, a guy that's been with the White Sox for this long and maybe just took a couple of reps, a couple of 141 games and almost 500 plate appearances to get this type of effort out of Yolmer Sanchez. Because White Sox fans were rooting for the guy that showed up in 2017 before then. They liked him. He was affable, but the bat and everything didn't come together. But everything in 2017 did come together, and we're saying, okay, you give us this, maybe you can build on that and give us more the next year. And it never happened. The Gold Glove came as a shock to most White Sox fans, as far as you were saying. Usually you get a little bit bigger name. You get a guy that also did it with the bat that gets the recognition for a Gold Glove. But, yeah, 2017 Yomer was vintage. And I don't know if you guys are going to get that. I mean, that ballpark maybe plays to maybe his strengths with the high wall and right field. He can hit that and hit a couple doubles. He led the league, I think, that year in triples also. So, yeah, if you get that 2017 Yomer, God bless. It'll be a great year for the Orioles in that regard. I mean, he won't carry the team, but you guys will enjoy what he brings to the table. And he's a switch hitter too. So he's a little bit better from the left-hand side, of course, like most switch hitters, but he'll give you a quality at bat from the right side, but it won't be anything spectacular.
Yeah, and the Orioles will take that as they're rebuilding as well, you know, and if they can get anything close to 2017, as you said, Mike Elias, Brandon Hyde can be very happy. Last thing for you, Herb, before we let you go, you know, you mentioned that Yomer is kind of, you know, what you'd like him to be is like the perfect fifth infielder for mm-hmm. a team. So the question becomes, you know, we know the White Sox have all this young talent, and you just look in their infield and you see, you know, obviously over at first, Abreu named an MVP finalist, and you have Tim Anderson, who was right there, and Yoan Moncada as well. Was it just, you know, there were just too many names there and too many cooks in the kitchen in the infield for the White Sox, and that's why, you know, they let Sanchez go again? Or was it more of Sanchez's play that they didn't feel they wanted to bring him back as the fifth infielder?
The thing is, the White Sox had a lot of shortstop / second baseman down in the pipeline. This year's candidate for, I think, second base, Gold Glove is Danny Mendick, who played like 40 games this year in the truncated season. He was decent. I don't know if he was of Yomer's caliber as far as defense. And then we picked a guy a couple years ago named Nick Madrigal, third overall in the draft. And so once the service time games were going to be up, Madrigal was going to be on this White Sox team, which happened like the day after the service time considerations happen. Nick Madrigal is back on the White Sox roster, and he started the game and never really came out unless he got hurt. But yeah, Yomer wasn't long for this team as far as playing every day. I think his number was like $6 million for the 2020 year if they were to tender him. Instead, they decided to go with the guy Danny Mendick to play the first couple games, and then when Nick Madrigal got past the threshold, he played for most of the time, and then he got hurt, and then Mendick got right back in there. But yeah, that's the only thing. The number, the $6 million that he was going to make in 2020 really caused Yomer to not be on the White Sox, and then the Giants picked him up and never really played him, and then the White Sox brought him back for veteran minimum. And so, yeah, if he was a younger player, maybe a guy with a lesser number, he 100% would have been on that White Sox 2020 team, probably getting those starts instead of Danny Mendick until the kid Nick Madrigal comes up. So he's supposed to be, Nick Madrigal, supposed to be a hit first, good glove guy, smart. This year didn't work out that well. He hit well. He singles and doubles, but really he wasn't smart on the base pass, ran into a lot of outs, and his fielding wasn't what we've been advertising, definitely nowhere near what Mendick's or Yomer's was. So he had to leave. But Yomer is a welcome guy. We would have loved to have him back, but luckily for the Orioles, they got a guy in Yomer that's going to be, I think, a fan favorite. Like, I'm not saying that he's going to be a star, but I'm sure fans, if they are allowed back into the games next year, will be seeking out Yomer, because he'll be sticking around, giving you autographs, enjoying your children, allowing them to get autographs, seeing a Major League Baseball player. And he's only like 5'8", so it's a very fun treat to see a guy that's probably your height, my height. I know that. I don't know how tall you are, Connor, sorry to put you, not you personally, like you universally. it's like your height playing baseball. It's like weird. Oh, man, I can probably play baseball if I was good. But Yomer gives that everyman look for everybody. He smiles all the time. He's a very, very affable guy.
Yeah, I've seen him, as you mentioned at the beginning, you know, the guy with the Gatorade cooler in hand running out to the plate during the walk-off wins for the White Sox. I'm excited to hopefully see him do that a lot in an Oriole uniform next year.
That'd be great.
Herb, thank you so much for joining us. You can check out his podcast, Locked On White Sox, here on the Locked On Podcast Network, doing a great job covering this White Sox team that's been in the news plenty over the last week with some interesting decisions. Yeah, concerning their manager, but that obviously a conversation for another day, and frankly, a conversation I know you're having on your pod. So if anyone wants to hear the Tony La Russa talk, check out Locked On White Sox. But Herb, thank you again for coming on to talk about Yomer Sanchez.
Appreciate it, Connor. Thank you for having me on.
So again, our thanks to Herb Lawrence, the co-host of the Locked On White Sox podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, for joining us to talk about Yomer Sanchez. You can find his podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your pods. If you want to hear some good reaction to the White Sox surprisingly hiring Tony La Russa as their new manager, you can check out his pod over there at Locked On White Sox. But Yomer Sanchez, you know, at least from what Herb is telling us, seems like he will be a good addition to the Orioles. Will definitely compete for a spot. You know, Mike Elias saying he's not here to be a utility infielder. He's here to compete for a starting spot for the Orioles in 2021. And I think he can win that spot either at second or third. But I will say, with the Orioles picking up Sanchez and also picking up the option for Jose Iglesias, I know Orioles fans do not want to hear this, but Hanser Alberto's time with the Orioles may be in jeopardy. He could potentially get close to $5 million in arbitration this offseason, and the Orioles may want to decline that and simply non-tender him, or at least try to trade Hanser, because he would really be the second most expensive guy in arbitration behind Trey Mancini, and not that far behind Mancini, because of course Trey didn't play in the 2020 season. So if that does happen, we will obviously cover it, but do not be surprised if the Orioles do move on from Hanser Alberto, especially after making this Yomer Sanchez move. But we'll keep our eye on that going forward. And we love Hanser, don't want him to go, but we've seen Mike Elias cut payroll before, and this might be one of those moves that he could potentially make. But going forward here on the pod, you're liking what you're hearing, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Give us a rating and a review if you can. That really, really helps out the pod. So we'll be back with you tomorrow. We're doing daily episodes. We'll continue through November, Monday through Friday, every day. So we'll be back with you tomorrow. We're going to take a look, a little bit closer look at fall instructional camp, which just wrapped up for the Orioles. 55 prospects were down there in Sarasota, playing some games, getting some good work in. And we're going to talk about one of the guys who was sent down there to Sarasota, one of the lesser known names, I think, who the Orioles sent down there. 2019 draft pick, right-handed pitcher Connor Gillespie out of VCU. And we're going to talk to Noah Fleischman, who covered him and called his games at VCU, to talk about why Gillespie was picked by the Orioles, what makes him good, and why the Orioles, you know, sent a lesser-known guy down to that instructional camp to get a closer look at him. So that'll be coming up on tomorrow's episode. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.